The Predators clear it down. Here's Kiefer Sherwood, right wing, with a chance of the empty net. He scores! Kiefer Sherwood fires it into the open goal. And the Predators go up 4-1 with under 2 minutes left in the third. They're going to tie the series at a game apiece.
8:01 on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour three of the program. Robbie Stanley from 102.5 The Game in Nashville is going to join us in just a few minutes here. Nashville Sports Talk Radio on the heels of Nashville's 4-1 win over the Vancouver Canucks. They get the split going back to Nashville on Friday for game three. Hour three of this program is brought to you by Campbell and Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell and Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today.
We are coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for?
Kintec is the answer.
Yes. So tonight in NHL action, we got the Bruins and the Leafs. Will William Nylander play tonight?
Will Austin Matthews play tonight?
Yeah, he missed the optional this morning. I think both guys are probably going
to
play, but
I'm not willing to rule in or out anybody with the Leafs at this point. William Nylander, I don't even know what's going on with Nylander.
What about Mitch Marner, the invisible man?
I feel like he will be visible tonight.
Okay. Wouldn't being an invisible man be good, though, in terms of sports? Like, nobody would be able to hit you. You'd be invisible out there.
You can still see all your equipment.
And all they'd be seeing is a stick and a puck moving down the ice. It'd be like, I think you would have the advantage as the invisible man.
It's a very good point, Andy.
So, I mean, I take offense to that.
Take offense
as
to
a
being
former
a negative
man myself.
You take offense to being a negative connotation.
Maybe
that's what Steve Simmons was doing.
Exactly.
Look how stealthy this guy is.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, everyone just read the headline. Like, this is classic internet.
You gotta read
the article. This guy's brilliant.
Have you not seen the movie? Yeah.
You can't TLDR this one. You gotta read.
Vegas is in Dallas for game two. The Vegas Golden Knights have a 1-0 lead in that series. Obviously, the Bruins and the Leafs are tied at 1. And then the Edmonton Oilers host game 2 against the LA Kings. The Oilers absolutely dominated the Kings in game 1.
Yep.
But, you know, as we've seen with the Leafs series and, well, the Canucks series, no matter how well game 1 goes, you know, the road team can still go in there and get the split. There's also the NFL draft coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
If anyone's forgotten about that or doesn't care about that, we're still going to talk about a little bit about it tomorrow and what the Seahawks might do.
Well, look, we've got a couple nights off between games.
How the quarterbacks might go. It looks like Caleb Williams is going to the Bears, right?
He's minus 2,000 at sportsbooks.
Right.
So
pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
Now that they traded their other quarterback too. You know what? That was a bit of a tell.
Yeah. You know, we follow sports for a living. We kind of can see behind the scenes. We know what's going on here. So it's like Jaden Daniels, Blake, everyone. I think there's going to be about, I don't know, 4 or 5 quarterbacks going in the first round, which will be really...
Well, let's go to the home of Will Levis now.
Yeah, right. We go to Nashville now. Very happy to get him back.
Titans are going
to
take an offensive tackle, probably.
I was going to say, so I was scrolling Robbie Stanley, our next guest, timeline of 102.5 The Game in Nashville. And it's funny because you talk about different markets and what's going on around the NHL right now. Robbie joins us now on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. First, good morning, Robbie. Thanks for doing this.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no problem. So talk about the landscape in Nashville right now, because it's hard to ignore that a lot of people are focused on the Tennessee Titans, who have the 7th overall pick at tomorrow night's NFL draft. And understandably, because, I mean, there's movies dedicated to the NFL draft. It is a big deal. How's the conversation going for you guys at 102.5 The Game this morning?
Yeah, there's obviously a ton of interest in the draft, and with the win last night for the Predators, there's a ton of interest in the playoff series too. So we do a 3-hour morning show. We did about 2 hours on the Predators this morning, 1 hour on the draft, and that's kind of the breakdown of how things went this morning. But people, it's interesting too, because, you know, the Predators get the win last night. People are very excited, obviously, that they evened up the series. But when the shot attempts are 84-36, I think a little bit of nervousness about what that could mean moving forward here. So some nervous excitement from Predators fans this morning.
Yeah, is that a sustainable way to win this series for the Nashville Predators? You know, don't get me wrong, they were excellent in blocking shots and blocking passing lanes. And Andrew Brunette said after the game, we were committed to the pain. And, you know, so you got to credit the Preds for sacrificing their bodies. But do you guys feel like this is a sustainable way for the Preds to win this series, or do they need to get a little more puck possession?
It's not sustainable, at least in my opinion. Like, you got to find a way to get the puck a little bit more. You certainly have to find a way to generate more 5-on-5 than they've been able to in the first two games. And look, I think they deserve a lot of credit for clogging up the shooting lanes, for getting in the middle there and blocking shots and being willing to pay that price. But bottom line is, when Vancouver has the puck as much as they have in the first two games, and particularly as much as they did last night, generally speaking, that's probably not going to end well for you. So I think the Predators know that if they're going to pull this thing off and they're going to win the series, they're going to have more time with the puck, have to have more chances offensively. And, you know, coming back home when you're in more control of the matchups and you got last change, how much is that going to help them? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But, I mean, it was like you guys know this, it was like a glorified penalty kill the entire third period for the Preds last night.
So the thing that kind of caught me off guard was, I guess it's almost like that Shaq meme. It's like, I wasn't familiar with your game, because I kind of saw the Predators being this team that liked to get the puck up quick in transition, and they like to play a certain style. And then they came out yesterday, and I was like, this looks like the Kings in the 1-3-1. Almost like this is a real commitment to the defensive side of things. Is this just because I wasn't familiar with how the Preds play? Was this always in their arsenal? I can't imagine you've ever had a regular season game where they block like 800 shots, but it was certainly not just on display, but they did a very good job of it as well.
They did a very good job, and I think they're certainly capable. I mean, when they went on their 18-game point streak, they were committed defensively, and the numbers said that they were the best defensive team in the league during that stretch. Now, having said that, they have not played this way all year long. Like, they have been a team that likes to push the pace. They like to get going in transition. That's what Andrew Brunette's game is about. I have not seen them all year long get put in a situation like they were last night.
Right.
Like, Vancouver was all over them, and it was just such a kind of a weird outlier game that way. So really, the series has gone, I think, a little bit differently than I thought it was going to this point, just based on the way that they play. They've been defending a lot through the first two games, and that's not really been the case for them most of the season.
The series has gone way differently than I thought it was going to go. Because,
yeah.
And none of it really makes sense, because you would say that the Canucks have dominated, obviously, statistically in terms of possession and shot volume and shot metrics, but they've also barely led. Like, the Preds have led almost, you know, two-thirds of this series. And there's score effects that come into that, but it just, you look at the numbers and you're like, none of this really makes sense. What have you thought, like, now that they're coming home with the split, everyone's got to be happy with the split, but it has to kind of be with a caveat, does it not?
Yeah, for sure. And I think everybody knows that if they're going to win this series, they have to find a way to get going more offensively. I thought it was a good sign for the Preds last night that Philip Forsberg got going in the second period, because quite frankly, like, through the first four periods of the series, I thought Forsberg was bad, as bad as he's been all year. And then he gets going and gets that nice goal to get him on the board last night. They need more of that. But it's been a really strange series. Like, even last, like, the thought process of Vancouver having over 80 attempts and only – what did they end up with? Like, 18 shots on goal? Like, it wasn't very much that they ended up with. Like, it's been just such a strange series from that standpoint. And look, let's be honest here, too. Like, the Predators did get a couple of good bounces to go their way last night. Like, a couple of them went off the post. Pettersson missed a wide open net that I still, for the life of me, can't believe that he missed early in the game too. So there was some good fortune that went their way for the Predators last night, but there's no question about it. Like, if they're going to win the series, they have to find a way to spend more time in the offensive zone and stop just basically being camped out in the D zone.
So who needs to up their game a little bit more for the Nashville Predators, or is it a team-wide thing?
Well, I think the easy answer is a team-wide thing, but I think some guys specifically, Gus Nyquist has been very quiet through the first two games. I think they need more from him. And Tommy Novak. Tommy Novak down the middle has been very disappointing, in my opinion, so far in this series. And look, Novak has always been a guy that's a little bit of a liability in his own end, but you live with that because of the plays he can make in the offensive end. And he's just losing the puck too much. I mean, you watch him play, and sometimes it's forced. Sometimes it's not. I mean, he's had a couple of opportunities that have just kind of slid right off his stick so far in this series, and they can't have that with how limited their chances have been offensively. So if I had to identify one guy in particular, they need more from Novak. They need him to be more of a threat offensively. You know, I thought Luke Evangelista on that line played pretty well in game one, and Novak was kind of holding them back. I thought that whole line took a step back last night, and they switched some things around. They put Bevilier up with Sissons and Zucker and moved Mark Jankowski down there with Evangelista and Novak. But that line in particular, when you start to look at matchups and the way Andrew Brunette wants to deploy those guys, I think you're going to see a lot of Novak in the offensive zone with last change. And he's got to find a way to be more impactful than he has been, because he has been a detriment to them so far in this series.
How much do you think being back at home will help the Preds in terms of the crowd? A lot of people, you know, we're not tooting our own horn here, but there was a lot of people around the league that were taking notice of the Vancouver crowd, which, you know, certainly the Canucks were talking about, but I also wonder what effect it had on the Nashville Predators. Maybe they felt like they were in such a hostile environment that they almost went into like a siege mentality, like that, you know, something was coming, and maybe that'll change once they go back to Nashville.
Yeah, I'm interested to see it. First off, I thought the environment in Vancouver was awesome. And, you know, obviously I wasn't there. I was watching through the TV. But, you know, I remember watching this series back in 2011, and I thought the Where the Streets Have No Name U2 stuff was just so cool back then. And the fact that they brought it back was just awesome, and I loved seeing it. And I think the Predators are hoping that the environment in Nashville can kind of be that driving force for them. And, look, you know, I've been to a ton of playoff games in Nashville. It's an awesome environment. It's really loud. The fans are really raucous. And quite frankly, like, I think it's going to help them that the game is on a Friday night and then on a Sunday afternoon. You guys know this, but there's a lot of extracurricular things to do outside of that arena on Broadway in Nashville, and I imagine the crowd is going to be fired up by the time that game rolls around. So I think the Predators are hoping that there's a ton of energy in the building. I think there will be. I think it's going to be the best environment in that building in a long time. And I think people are really looking forward to it, and the Predators are hoping that translates to more offensive zone time. Because if it doesn't, I still think Vancouver's chances in this series are pretty good.
We're speaking to Robbie Stanley from 102.5 The Game in Nashville, also the Preds correspondent for NHL.com. Hey, Robbie, what was the reaction in Nashville when you guys heard that Thatcher Demko was going to likely be out for the series?
I got to be honest with you, there was a lot of excitement about that. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think anybody around here obviously wishes that anybody gets hurt, but clearly, I mean, the Predators experienced this a couple of years ago when UC Saros got hurt late in the regular season and wasn't available in that 2022 series against Colorado. Now, Colorado was an absolute buzzsaw that year, so it probably wouldn't have mattered anyway. But certainly, like, when you lose Saros, that's a huge deal. And obviously, Demko is an elite goaltender. So when the Predators found that news, and certainly when their fans found out that news yesterday, I do think it gives you a little bit of life in terms of, all right, well, if you can get to Casey DeSmith, you've certainly got a better chance of scoring on him than you do Demko. And look, you know, the game last night, it was such a dominant performance by Vancouver in terms of puck possession that it's not going to be really the storyline. But I do think if you're the Predators, one takeaway I've got from that game is put as many pucks on net as you can at DeSmith and see what happens. Like, he gave up a pretty fat rebound on that third goal there by Sissons, and I think that's going to be the plan anyway. We'll see if they can execute it, but try to put as many pucks on possible and see how DeSmith handles that pressure in a raucous environment.
We talked about this earlier. After that first goal went in for the Preds and the way that it went in and the circumstances, I was shocked that they weren't firing everything they could on net for the next 5 minutes. I was like, if it was me, I would have been like, shoot from center. Like, let's just try.
Well, they got to get the puck first.
Well, they have the puck. I was like, less passing.
They were immediately on the PK almost after that for like 4 minutes.
Because I inherently wanted the Canucks to win, but I'm yelling at the TV. I'm like, Predators, pass less, shoot more. Were you doing the same?
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, I thought they had a couple opportunities. Like you said, they went on the penalty kill shortly after that, but there was a rush they had with Bevilier, and he tried a saucer pass to the middle of the ice, and I was like, just shoot the puck, man. Ryan O'Reilly missed a chance from the slot on the power play where I was like, just get that puck on the net and see what happens there. And look, you know, it's not like Casey DeSmith is the world's worst goaltender. I mean, we know that, but just I think getting the puck on net and trying to get some of those greasy goals, that's going to have to be how the Predators get their offense in this series. Yes, they've got Philip Forsberg, and I think last night the goal he scored, a good reminder of what he can do when you give him time and space. But I think they certainly passed up too many shot attempts to try to make that perfect pass last night, and that cannot happen for them moving forward.
Real quick, before we let you go, what are the Titans going to do at 7 tomorrow?
I think you're going to see Joe Alt from Notre Dame left tackle. I hope they get exciting with it and take Malik Nabers if he's there, wide receiver out of LSU. But I think it's going to be a pretty boring pick, and they'll go with the left tackle on Joe Alt, who I think is a good player, but nobody gets excited about offensive line being picked.
Are the fans pretty excited about Will Levis and his potential?
They are. I think more so than the national media and the people kind of looking from the outside in. He came in last year and had a couple of really big games and really big moments, and he's got an absolute cannon of an arm. So I think people are excited to see. Now that they've got another year of DeAndre Hopkins, they signed Calvin Ridley in the offseason to go with him. So more weapons for him at his disposal this year. I think they're excited to see what he can do.
So we got game three on Friday night, game four Sunday afternoon. Robbie, with that, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for doing this. We'll check back next week. Who knows what's going to happen by then, but I can guarantee you this, it'll probably be really interesting and exciting.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys, for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, too. That's Robbie Stanley from 102.5 The Game in Nashville and Preds correspondent for NHL.com.
So a couple of short updates here. William Nylander of the Toronto Maple Leafs did stay out late at the Leafs morning skate with projected scratch Noah Gregor.
What is going on?
So Nick Robertson might be in for Nylander again. Such a curious situation with Nylander because he's out there skating and, you know, everyone's watching him skate and going, well, looks pretty good to me. But it looks like, unless Sheldon Keefe is playing some mind games here, it looks like Nylander is going to miss tonight's game three against the Boston Bruins as well. And this also just in, it's being reported that Florida Panthers center Sam Bennett will be out for a lengthy period of time. Did he leave the game last night?
He got hit in the hand with a puck
after
being in on both of the first two Florida goals. Like, he was a going concern.
Is he a big loss?
Sorry?
Is that a big loss for them?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, of course.
18-year-old Sam Bennett, right?
Yeah, he's big. No, I know. Yeah, yeah.
No.
I mean, he's their 2C, right? Yeah.
He's kind of the straw that stirs the drink there at times, though. Mm-hmm. It feels like.
Well, him and Tkachuk have been a problem for Tampa Bay through the first two series, as you would expect. But he's one of those guys, like, there's a handful of guys where you can actually say he's more useful in the playoffs than the regular season. Bennett has always kind of been one of them, right? And, I don't want to speculate. We already played armchair psychologist, so why not play armchair doctor? I mean, I'm assuming he broke his hand if he took a puck off the hand, left, and didn't return. But
yeah, now he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah,
apparently.
So there you have it. So yeah, injury news all over the place. Not surprising through the first three or four games of the playoffs.
Sheldon Keefe apparently saying there's a chance Nylander plays tonight. And says will depend on how he responds to extra work.
So you're saying there's a chance.
This morning, that's per Chris Johnston. Austin Matthews is good to go tonight, according to Sheldon Keefe. He just missed the optional skate. Or the morning skate. I think he just took the option on that. And he was brilliant in game two for the Leafs. I'm actually looking forward to watching game three tonight between the Leafs and the Bruins. I think it should be a good hockey game.
Speaking of watching sports on the TV, I got to ask you, how much NBA playoffs have you watched?
None.
Okay.
I'm all in on hockey.
I'm trying my best. I forget sometimes the last week in April and the first week in May, just it's so hectic. Mm-hmm. There are at any time 6 playoff games on every night on average between the NBA and NHL playoffs. I'm trying to consume as much as I can. I was duo watching the Canucks and Preds and the Clippers and Mavs yesterday, because my kid's a huge Clippers fan. Mm-hmm. We took him to one game, and now he's a diehard
Clippers, big
Clippers
fan. That's a good decision.
Living and dying with the Clips. So I'm watching these games, and he's asking me all these questions about all these other series, and I'm like, you're killing me right now. Like, I know some of the storylines. I'm like, Giannis is out, and Dame played really well in game one, but then Pascal had a big game last night, and I'm trying to get caught up in everything. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. It is a lot that's going on right now. Thankfully, tonight is actually, and it's hilarious because there's 5 games, but it's a quiet night. There's 3 Stanley Cup playoff games, and there's only 2 NBA playoff games. So it's actually a very, fairly mellow night.
What are the NBA games?
Miami-Boston, which Boston's up 1-0 in that series. No Jimmy Buckets for Miami, so I don't give them much of a shot. There was a big controversy in that series, by the way. So Brian Scalabrine, remember him?
Yeah.
He now works as an analyst. I think it's for NBC Boston. And he accused Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra of telling, I want to say it was Caleb Martin, to intentionally do a hard foul on Jason Tatum at the end of the blowout in game one.
Right. Yeah,
he said he called a code red.
Mm-hmm.
And code red, I guess, is code for you're going to go annihilate that guy with a hard mm-hmm. foul.
It's kind of like running the goalie in a blowout.
A little bit. But if the coach was like, go run him. Like not making it very subtle, mm-hmm. making it very obvious. So there was a lot of pushback from a lot of different people.
Like Sean Payton is coaching.
Wasn't it Greg Williams?
It was Sean Payton that was.
Greg Williams had the bounty system. Though.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sean Payton was the guy that oversaw it. He's like, I like this bounty system. But so anyway, that's the.
Did you know they made like a lame kids movie about the Sean Payton story?
Yeah, Kevin James was Sean Payton.
Yeah. So the kids were watching it.
I did not watch it.
Because it was one of those, like, I thought it was just one of those, like, harmless, you know, sports stories about kids. And then all of a sudden I'm watching this and I'm going, like, wait a minute, is this the Sean Payton story with Kevin James starring as Sean Payton?
Yeah, the movie.
What the heck?
The movie is called Home Team.
Yeah.
It also has one of the vampires from the Twilight series in it. What's his name? Remember when those guys were really popular? Taylor and who was the other guy?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson, Taylor Lautner. Taylor Lautner's in this movie.
Oh, okay.
So his career is going places.
Yeah.
yeah. No, this was a...
But I was kind of like, is this a comedy or is this like a real serious story? And it was like, it's a bit of both.
It is a very weird movie because it's forged in truth and it's the Sean Payton story.
But it's like Kevin James stars as the, you know, like it's not Kevin James like, I finally wanted to take a serious role, right?
No,
not like that.
It's
or
a happy-go-lucky
like...
kind of movie. It's Adam Sandler produced it. Shockingly, Adam Sandler and Kevin James got together on something. Anyway.
Kevin James was at the Canucks game one.
Damn.
He got like a massive ovation.
People love Kevin James.
He was into it. Yeah.
by the way, I know everyone's like, I can't believe Halford didn't watch this sports movie. This is a bridge too far for me. Even I can't do Home Team starring Kevin James. And Rob Schneider's in the movie, too, speaking of careers that are going places. So there you have it. Okay. I guess that was kind of a what we learned. You can mookow it. This sets the table nicely for the final half hour of the program. Not only are we going to do Humanoid What We Learns, and it's your chance to be on the radio, it is Wednesday. That means we have a contest. We are giving away a $100 gift card for some Bridge Brewing primetime beer for the best What We Learned. Get them in. Hashtag it WWL. Dunbar Lumber text line is 650-650. It's not going to go just to any random What We Learned. It's the best What We Learned. Hashtag it WWL and put a beer emoji into your text. You can win a $100 gift card to Bridge Brewing. That's all coming up in the final half hour of the Halford and Breff Show on Sportsnet 650. Oh, wait, I need to do one more thing before we go to break. I need to tell you about our roofing company. Where is it here?
Roofing company.
No, it is. They're our roofing company. All Seasons Roofing. Canuck playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by All Seasons Roofing. Sun, rain, wind, or snow, those are all the seasons, apparently. All Seasons Roofing has you covered with end-to-end roofing services. For your free quote, visit them online at allseasonsroofing.ca. You're listening to the Halford and Breff Show on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now for my favorite part of the show. What did I say? Talk to the audience. Oh, God, this is always dead.
It's what we learn time. It's what we learn time. It's what we learn time. On the show.
8:31 on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Halford Breff, Sportsnet 650. Halford Breff in the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience a Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in Hour 3 of the program. It is What We Learn time. Hour 3 is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. You can visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today. I'm going to start with the What We Learns. I learned a little bit more about the Halford and Breff watch party, game 4 of the playoffs. Sunday, 2 p.m. puck drop, smack in the middle of your afternoon. You can wake up early. You can do your chores. Go to church. You can do whatever you got to do. Spend time with the family.
Get some exercise. get all that stuff out of the way, as I like to put it.
Right. Then you can head down to the Hollywood.
I love saying that at my house. I'm like, once all that stuff is out of the way, I can watch sports.
Your family loves to hear it. We're going to be at the Hollywood Theater, 3123 West Broadway, in the heart of Greekton, better known as Greektown. It's on a map. No one actually refers to it as such, but Greekton is the official term.
Too much of a boy for Crazy Town, too crazy for Boys Town.
Just send him to Greekton. The Hollywood Theater. Go online, hollywoodtheater.ca, for more. I feel we want to make it just like a real casual, no pressure thing. It's like you're free, no obligation quote from the Halford and Bruff Show. You can get a ticket. You don't need one particularly. It just helps us figure out how many people are going. And in the event that like 700 people show up and we're at capacity, you'll have a guaranteed seat. None of us think that's going to happen. We're all very realistic about our popularity. No, come on.
You also need an extra ticket if you want to talk to Halford.
Yes, that's right. And even then, I'm probably not going to do it. $50, now we're talking. Anyway.
There'll be a big lineup to talk to you guys, but it'll just be me and Laddie.
So every day this week, I'm going to remind you, hey, look, if you want to come by, it's no cover, no cost. They've got three bars on the floor to serve you. It's a jumbo screen. The game's going to be on. There'll be lots of people. It's good vibes. It's a Sunday. It's in the middle of the afternoon, Hollywood Theater. You can figure it out, okay? It's going to be the Halford and Bruff Watch Party. It'll be a lot of fun. We're all going to be there. The whole show, it's a show outing too, right? If you ever wanted to see the dogs in real life, they will be there. Bruff and I will be there, okay? There you go. Moo cow me. Laddie is what we learned.
What we learned, the Jim Rutherford Trophy was handed out yesterday.
The what?
I forgot
the
you were
Jim
doing
Jim Rutherford Trophy, and it's not the GM's favorite player that gets the Jim Rutherford Trophy.
Okay, what's the Jim Rutherford Trophy?
The OHL's Goaltender of the Year Award.
It's called Jim. The
it's
Jim
named
Rutherford?
After Jim Rutherford.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So congratulations to Jacob Oster of the Oshawa Generals. I don't know if does Jim go out there and present him something, or is he still busy right now? With
he's probably a little busy.
Yeah, I think he's a little busy right now. But yeah, that's how, you know, presidential he is. He's got an award named after him in the junior league that he came up in.
The trophy is a bowl of old stale candy that sits on your desk.
I actually just want to. I'm going to look up the Jim Rutherford Trophy right now to see what names have won. Oh, Jordan Binnington won the Jim Rutherford Trophy. That's Steve Mason.
That's unfortunate for the trophy. Steve Mason. I forgot about him.
Alex Nedeljkovic.
This has been around for a while, though.
Oh, and look at this. Mikey DiPietro with the Windsor Spitfires.
Oh, my God.
Won.
This is a very prestigious trophy.
The Jim Rutherford Trophy.
You know who won it? You know who the first winner of the Jim Rutherford Trophy was?
Yes, I do, because I'm looking at it right now.
Who is it?
Rick Tabaracci.
That is amazing.
That's a great name.
This is the greatest trophy.
That is an awesome name.
With this kind of history, this trophy is one of the most iconic in sports.
Andrew,
look at these winners.
Andrew Raycroft, Craig Anderson won it. Yeah.
Alex Nedeljkovic.
Good goalies are coming out of the OHL.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
That is my favorite name ever, I think.
What a great trophy.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
UPL.
He's got the Bash theme song name, like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Yeah, yeah.
Luukkonen. You know, he's got that thing going to him.
You've heard
things at the Chocolate Factory.
Many people died.
You
major lawsuit.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pecks of pickled peppers did Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen pick?
I mean, that's
so
very
glad you have that.
Yeah, that's incredible.
We couldn't do that.
Yeah,
our pronunciation skills are so poor.
No, I would faint.
Someone was bagging on us earlier because you did Karamios wrong.
I said Karamios, didn't I?
But they said we pronounced it wrong. However, pronounced it was wrong. Apparently. And I'm like,
Karamios.
Karamios or Karamios?
I don't even have it in front of me right now.
Karamios.
Sunday Karamios.
Karamios.
Sorry, did you say Karamios? I did. Moo cow. Okay, let's fire up the dot matrix.
It's quite close to Piak land, I think.
The H is silent. Okay.
And near Nackis Island?
Oh God.
Anakis Island.
That one.
Anakis Island was bad. In Yikes. What world did you think that was a hard seat?
No, it's got to be.
This man has never worked in Anakis Island in his life.
I've seen some words before, and I'm like, that's a soft seat.
They got the sandworms and all sorts of stuff. Spice.
Nashville.
It's a Dune reference.
This is from Windsor in Hard Sea Coquitlam, not however you would pronounce it. Oh, yeah, right. We got to do the fire plan. Sorry. What we learned, Humanoid Edition, is brought to you by Get Fire Plan. Protect what matters most with comprehensive fire safety plans, monthly audits, and risk mitigation at $200 off. Visit them at getfireplan.com.
Oh, my
The winner of the What We Learned for the $100 gift card to Primetime Beer / Bridge Brewing is Windsor from Coquitlam, who wrote in, hashtag WWO, What We Learned, the Nashville Predators had more blocks last night than me on Tinder. I'm just going to gloss over how that came to be.
I hope it's just because you're ugly.
You know, yeah.
Not because you're like doing terrible things on Tinder.
No, it's because I'm unsightly.
Yeah.
Normally all of my viewings are of the sports variety, but I actually watched The Tinder Swindler on Netflix.
What's that about?
Well, the name is rather self-explanatory.
A swindler who's on Tinder.
Thank you.
Wait, Tinder.
So oh, it... Tindler.
Tindler.
That's a different website, bud.
Uh-oh.
I've been using Tindler.
HR line 3.
What do you do?
Andy, do you have Tindler downloaded onto your work phone? Okay. It was a...
The Tindler is someone who meets someone on Tinder and then tickles them.
It was a guy. Anyway, the Tindler...
Tindler strikes again.
They call me the Tindler.
The Tindler monster.
The Tindler swindler, focus, was a guy passing himself off as the son of a Russian-Israeli diamond mogul named Lev Leviev.
Oh, okay.
He was his son, and he was gallivanting around Europe in private jets wearing designer clothes. So he would...
So he was that guy or he wasn't?
He wasn't.
Guy?
He pretended to be.
Oh, he pretended
very
to
elaborately,
be that guy.
I might add. Halfway through, I'm like, this guy's... He's got so many diamonds. He did not. He swindled 10...
You got swindled.
approximately $10 million from various women. And the scams were... wildly elaborate, but also at the same time, just real basic, just asking for money. But he had so many different swindles going that he accumulated over $10 million.
If he was so wealthy and presented himself as so wealthy, why would he need to ask these women for money?
He would present a lifestyle.
Because he wasn't wealthy.
Yeah, but wouldn't that bring some
I'll
alarms
answer the question
in their
instead
head?
Of you two talking about it. He presented himself as someone so wealthy but so deep in the world that people didn't understand the diamond trade, that there was like a bit of like espionage and enemies involved, and
there was excitement to it too.
His money was routinely tied up in transactions and deals and international banking, but he had the private jets and the Gucci belts to at least show on the outside that he had the money, but on the inside he was just a cold, dead individual taking money away from people. Wasn't a bad movie, actually.
So tell us about this new guy you met.
Yeah. His name's Lev.
He's into diamonds.
Oh, good. You met another one in the diamond trade.
He's got lots of customers. They have secret illegal accounts.
Mm-hmm. Also, he needs money all the time.
Lives on Anacus Island.
All right.
Anyway, congrats to Windsor from Tindler.
Eric, the former...
Yeah, right.
Eric, the former HVAC hack. What we learned, I just woke up and my first thought is... I wonder when Petey will. See, I like the wordplay there that Petey's got to wake up. But last night was not one of those games where Petey was just sleepwalking his way through the game. He was very actively involved right from the very start. He's trying to throw some big hits. He was involved. He had the puck on his stick, which in theory is good, but... He just made all the wrong decisions with the puck on his stick. When he should have shot, he passed. When he should have passed, he shot often right into. He hit seven block. He had seven of his shots blocked last night. Seven. Mm-hmm. He got none on net. So he had 9 shot attempts. 7 were blocked. 2 missed the net. Didn't register a shot. Plus, he had that terrible giveaway where he just. I don't know if he double clutched on it or it looked like he knew what play he wanted to make. Then at the last second, he was like, oh, I don't want to make that play. And then he just kind of slid the puck into the middle of the ice. And then to make matters worse, he fell as per tradition, but then he got up and he actually had a pretty good back check, but he didn't pick anyone up. So Colton Sissons was able to, you know, win a stick battle essentially with Petey and bang the puck in. I don't even think Petey knew Sissons was there.
Yeah. Cliff in Langley with What We Learned. Also, Cliff spells his name K-L-I-F-F like Cliff Kingsbury, which is pretty cool.
Cool.
I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cliff writes, this is a great text. Hashtag WWO What We Learned. Nikita Zadorov is everything Canucks fans wanted Nikita Triamkin to be. Cliff, you are so right.
That's actually a great show.
That's an amazing show. We are seeing it years later that we had the Nikita part right, but the surname was wrong. We always wanted Zadorov when we had Triamkin.
Yeah.
Zadorov was what we always wanted. We wanted Triamkin to be.
The big, tough Russian defenseman, and we really wanted the first name Nikita.
Yeah. It was so close. Yet so far, because Triamkin never, ever showed what, even in brief glimpses, I never got this vibe from Triamkin.
Do you remember he had that one really good game against the Edmonton Oilers on the last game of the season?
I only know it because you remember it. I don't remember it. But you've spoken about it.
Jim Benning apparently got a text from another general manager. It was like, Triamkin's going to be a hell of a player. And then Triamkin was like, I'm going back to the KHL.
Right. Second part of that text was in the KHL.
Dylan from Ontario, what we learned, I learned that some fans who predicted a 5 or 6 game series victory also somehow didn't expect Vancouver to lose a game. Let's not overreact to the game 2 loss. Vancouver lost game 2 at home versus Nashville in 2011. And we remember how that series ended. Dylan from Ontario, I appreciate your optimism, and I still expect the Canucks to win this series.
Expect.
And I still think they should win this series. But let's not, let's be honest. A lot of yesterday had to do with two things. Number one, Pettersson, and how he looked in that game, how he seems to have lost all his confidence, and how it was just kind of like a nightmare game for Elias Pettersson, a guy that the Canucks have committed massive money to for another 8 years. So that was one part of it. But the second part, and this is even a bigger thing, they probably lost Thatcher Demko for the playoffs.
I think that
even if they get past Nashville, they're looking at that Oilers-Kings series and going, the Oilers look pretty good. You know what would be tough? Beating the Oilers with Casey DeSmith in net.
Right.
It's like already going to be tough.
I know they talked about this after the on the broadcast yesterday, post-show, when they were doing their roundtable panel thing. But I'd just like to reiterate it. Like, you can't understate the mental like pretzel that the Canucks must have been thrown at. The players, I mean. Like, you win game one. Demko makes this amazing, brilliant save in that game. You know, you think that something might be wrong, but you're not really sure. And then you show up on game day and he's not at the skate. Like, I'm sure that they knew that something was wrong, but I'm sure a lot of them didn't find out that he was out until yesterday, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lose Myers because he's sick. And then the two guys that are thrown in, DeSmith and Juulsen, have real tough nights.
Well, the start of the game, too. Quinn Hughes blows a tire.
So there was a lot going on mentally, I think, that I think the team can recover from. I think that they were shook last night. They did a good job of, kind of righting the ship and dominating possession. But then you throw on top. Now imagine the mental fortitude it's going to take to not get frustrated by this. Like, there was a lot going on last night, is all I'll say. That's why we started the show. Is like, life moves fast. There was a lot that happened over the last 24 hours.
Justin and East Van, what we learned, the Canucks should call Mark Stone's doctor to look at Demko's knee. I heard that guy is a miracle worker.
We can't replace a guy's knee with a spleen.
Only deals with spleens.
Yeah.
Only deals with spleens.
Is there a spleen doctor?
Covey with what we learned. By acquiring Jake Guentzel, Carolina was able to come back from a 3-0 deficit and penetrate the wall of their New York Islander opponents a couple nights ago in a way that Vancouver was unable to do yesterday. It really showcased the lack of a top six forward, especially one who gets to the net. I watched that whole game. I believe our boys were shell-shocked by the Demko news, but will find their way through this. And I really hope Podkolzin comes in and puts a shoulder down and power moves to the net early in game 3. I'll be very curious just to touch on the first part of that text by Covey. What Guentzel means to Carolina, because Carolina is one of those teams that definitely could win the Stanley Cup this year. And listen, I do believe that most of Pettersson's issues are between the ears. I think it's a confidence thing. People talk about his line mates. He needs better line mates. He's got pretty good line mates when he's out on the power play, and you can still see some of the confidence issues that he's having. That being said, he does not have the ideal line mates. Like, two things can be true,
right?
Like, two things can be true. And there's a reason why Rick Tocchet juggled his line so much late in the season. And a big reason was to try and get Pettersson going. He had Garland up there. He had Besser up there. And then it didn't work so well with Pettersson that Rick Tocchet was like, okay, fine. Well, I'll break up Miller and Besser, or I'll break up Garland and Joshua. Ultimately, the coach felt that he'll give Petey what he gets, the best that he can get, but he felt that it was more important that Besser and Miller stay together and that Joshua and Garland stick together. And I don't argue with that. I can't argue with that logic, but there's no question that they do need to figure out some sort of answer long-term for Pedersen's wingers.
This one is from Leaf. Hashtag WWL, what we learned. Thankfully, today, April 24th, is Scream Day 2024. I'm going to take your word on that one, Leaf. A scream unlocks feelings deep down inside and allows them to be released, offering a sense of relief.
Screamville.
Ooh, ice creamville.
No, Screamville.
So,
great moment.
What is Scream Day?
I'm just taking old Leaf's word on it here.
Oh, that's a good idea.
He seems like a legit
guy. Where you're
guy.
Legally allowed to go out onto the street and scream for long periods of time without anybody being able to do anything.
Great after that Canucks game yesterday.
Yeah.
So today is actually National Scream Day.
Yeah.
Like,
why'd you say it like that?
Scream Day.
Scream Day.
Now, this one is saying that it's April 26th.
William Shatner over here. National Scream Day.
Hello.
Not just a local Scream Day. It's national.
Scream Day.
Scream Day activities. The best way to celebrate this day is to scream and let out all the frustrations that have been building up. Find a screaming method that works best for you. I like to go up to old ladies and scream in their faces.
Yeah,
that's
old ladies don't like it as much.
That's the method that works best for me.
So this is a real thing. Now, Leaf may have erred because I'm on the website that I'm looking at, courtesy of awarenessdays.com, which is a real website, apparently. Scream Day is April 26th. Regardless, it is a real thing. And it
says, no. I'm on a website that says Scream Day is April 24th. This is where the Scream Day factions separate.
They just yell at each other all day about what day it is.
Almost like they were. Okay. Scream Day was created to bring awareness to the benefits of screaming. Screaming on its own has proven to be very beneficial. You can scream in your pillow. Okay.
People need to be told this?
You never done that before?
Scream right into my pillow?
Yeah. Give it a go. Very therapeutic.
Try it, yeah.
Has anyone gone to one of those places where you get to smash stuff?
No. I want to.
Really? A lot of frustrations? Would it be like mostly because of Halford and I?
Yeah. I go there after every show, actually. Smash room.
So I feel like I'd hurt myself.
In a smash room?
You wear glasses. You wear the goggles.
No. Like I'd pull a muscle.
They had one in Philly at a Flyers game not too long ago.
Yeah, Gritty was doing it.
It works for Flyers.
They gave you plates, which I think actually would be rather satisfying.
Like, you threw a TV out the window yesterday. So
I was frustrated.
I think a room full of big vases, and you get a crowbar.
Yeah,
vase vase, whatever. Yeah. And they give you a big crowbar. Then that would be therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like breaking.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Swing and a miss.
Now I actually make contact.
You know what would be a lot of fun? Actually,
can't do this without ability.
If you had like an entire panel, like a wall of like individually paneled windows, and you could smash each one. Like over and over again, that'd be fun.
Would be really
I think fun. That'd be therapeutic.
They should make it so there's a big building you can go on top of, and you could drop things off the edge,
like
and
Letterman,
watch them break without hurting anyone. Of course, see that would be the ultimate thing.
Be like Gallagher, you could smash watermelons with a big mallet.
They need a destruction block, cordon off an entire block. You can go on top of a building and just drop stuff off the edge.
I've done the screaming.
That'd be so cool.
I've done the screaming in the car thing before. I have.
Like close the door and
every day after
really?
The show.
Yeah.
It's like Homer in the suit.
And then the one time I did it, and someone like was just, I didn't realize that someone was in the car beside me looking. I was like, hey, what's up?
Just on the phone.
Officer.
Don't mind me. It's just Scream Day.
Do you know what one of the funniest scenes in movie history was? Was in Fargo when William H. Macy fails in his pitch. You know, he was pitching.
Noted comedy Fargo.
No. When he was out in the parking lot and it was freezing cold and he had the massive temper tantrum because he couldn't get like the ice and snow off his windshield.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it was a great scene.
You could just like, you're watching that and you just feel his frustration. Like it started out that he was a little frustrated you know, with the scraping and, mm-hmm. and like, and then all of a sudden he just starts like losing it. And you just see, it was actually perfect. That's how I felt watching the game last night. I was William H. Macy in the parking lot. My car is the only car there. I have just failed to get an investment that I really needed. Now I'm in trouble financially and I'm going to take it out on my car.
So that's a great shout, because there's another scene in that movie where he's about to be interrogated by Frances McDormand. And he's got his notepad, and it's like an I Love Golf notepad. And all you see is he is just doing tiny little circles over and over and over again. Like, there's like a million of them. And he's just pent up the entire time, right? Just the frustration and the anxiety and the angst and the nerves are all building up. And he's just furiously drawing circles
right.
over and over and over
The again. Financing company is on the phone with him.
Yeah. I'll do a dang lot check. We got a minute left. That's it. Okay.
He's the guy in The Simpsons that draws circles, and you only ever see him once, and then you never see him again. He's like that crazy guy in a building.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the circle.
The Spirograph.
The Spirograph guy.
Yeah. Good pull, Andy.
Oh, man. Crime has gone up, and Spirographing has gone down.
Yeah.
Coincidence.
Mike, the urologist from Brockville, what we learned, with this Demko injury, my expectations for this year's playoffs have changed. I want the team to play a strong competitive team game, and they have. I want to see their top players, especially Petey, learn how to play in the playoffs. I think they can beat Nashville and gain a lot from this playoff experience, but they're not getting past the beasts at the top of the Western Conference without Demko. Well, Mike Durello, urologist from Brockville, leaving us on a high note there.
Yeah,
but listen, I mean, I think that's what we all are, I don't know, coming to grips with. It's not done yet, but the consensus based on the text inbox and what I'm thinking is like they should still beat Nashville in this series, but without Demko, if Edmonton beats LA and it's Canucks versus Oilers, well, prove me wrong, Casey DeSmith or Arthur Seeloffs, prove me wrong.
We got to get going. Before we go, though, I need to tell you that all Canucks playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Merritt Kitchens. That's not right. All seasons,
day.
All seasons,
can't be right.
All seasons roofing, sun, rain, wind, or snow. All seasons roofing has you covered with end-to-end roofing services. For your free quote, visit allseasonsroofing.ca. Happy Scream Day, everybody!
Canucks playoff coverage brought to you by Scream Day. That can't be right.
You've been listening to the Alfred and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. We'll be right back.